You're back for another episode of Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends. I got someone in my purple chair who's ready to chat with us about how they're navigating through life. Let's jump in. Everybody, you are back for another episode of Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends with myself, Laura Mickler, and Kristen is in the other purple chair today.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. Well, I think we ought to have a lot of laughs today on our topic. So we are going to talk about our adventures in home repairs.
And which I want to tell you is going to be hilarious.
I think so too. So prefacing this by saying, and I'll let you tell your house journey story.
Love it.
So the house that I live in was a family house, and my dad used it as a rental until I was in college. And then his renter moved out, and I said, "Hey, Dad, what about me moving in there?" So moved in there in 2000. Kristen, you're going to croak when I say this, 2004. So I have lived for 19 years. And it was around this time of the year, because you and I went to Wisconsin in the middle of when I was moving in here.
Supposed to be moving.
Yes. So I moved in here in 2004.
Oh my God. So next year is
20 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Next year is 20 years.
2 decades.
That you have to throw a party. Keep going.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And along with that, so then Alex and I
got married in her backyard too.
You did. You did. My aunt and uncle did when I was 3 months old. So fun. I see a lot of history.
Sorry, there was a lag in our internet that caused like that weird. Go ahead.
It's fine. So
putting it out.
Alex and I bought the house from my dad in 2008. So we have owned it since then. So, I mean, that's what, 15 years ago?
Oh, God. Almost.
And
then you had a cool floor.
Yeah. So I'll get into, you know, more of what we've done to the house since then. But also to say that I've had my dad, who is kind of, I call him the institutional memory of our house, because he knows when everything, you know, having worked in mortgages for so long, I know people buy houses and you have them inspected and you hope that the information you're getting is good and all of that. My house has literally never been on the market. So it's not in someone that I know's brain, it's not anywhere to be found. So, yeah, so that's my
and mind. You have this amazing property with like the amount of land that nobody would get today.
Correct. So I call my house a unicorn in our town. We own 5 acres in the city limits, and that just doesn't exist anymore. So, yeah.
Or you wouldn't be able to afford it because you're a millennial.
Correct. And our house was built in 1847, which is the other unicorn part of it. Our house is older than the town we live in.
Oh, I always forget that it's from like the 1800s. Wow.
So crazy.
Well, I did not have a institutional memory person to do a family house. So I bought a house in 2008, my first home. I did the typical move around. I actually lived walking distance to Laura for a while in like a really cool loft brick apartment, couple crappy rentals, and then we bought this home. And I had just become a professor, like really felt like I made it.
Grown ups.
Yeah, but I bought my home from a coworker, so I thought that he was telling the truth, and we'll get into wah wah, no. And then I moved to Iowa, got 2 different rentals, lots of home repair there. And then now we bought our dream home in December of 2020, because we are crazy like that. And so I am now in a totally different home.
Awesome.
That was my home journey.
It's beautiful.
Yes, Laura's been here. She's seen it.
Yeah. We've recorded several pods here. So, yeah. Well, I don't know where you want to start with this home repair stuff.
I think, so why don't we start with just like crazy shit that's happened in our houses and having to fix it? Because I think that's like, that's part of being a homeowner, right? Is that you think like, oh, this is so wonderful. And then the shit hits the fan sometimes literally. And you're like, oh, All of mine are bathroom related and I don't know why.
I feel like plumbing is probably a pretty major like
something has followed me in all my homes too. Like the house that I bought, my first home, you remember within a week of moving in, all of my plumbing went.
Yes.
And that cost me like 13 grand and I just bought a home.
Cause I feel like that was what I would have customers call me and they're like, I just moved into this house and the bathtub's getting ready to fall through the ceiling. And I'm like, you know, and I don't want to be crappy about it. Like from you have a alert on your computer. Sorry.
But, that was Julian.
No, you're fine. But like, it's like from my end of it, it didn't come up in the loan. So there's not much I can do about it. Call your insurance agent. That's kind of what I think for both of us though, most of the things we've had happen have not been covered by insurance or we didn't want to mess with them.
The only thing I ever had covered by insurance was when we had that day in Muncie where we had like snow and then we had tornadoes and hail.
Yes.
And my roof, which was already damaged because the guy that I bought the house from was a total a-hole. It got enough damage and then the siding got enough damage from the hail that I got a completely new roof.
Awesome.
But it still cost me, I think, like $5,000.
So speaking of new roofs, and I'm sure someday I'll talk about it. I feel like I talk about my house a lot on this podcast, but, you know, it's no secret where I live. So if you know me, you probably have been to my house because I've lived
here. I was going
to
say.
But we have a really cool, really old, really obnoxious barn on our property. So
better dad has full of stuff.
If you live in the state of Indiana and have a barn that's older than 1950, there is a property tax deduction for that. It's called a heritage barn. Use it wisely. So I qualified for it. My parents had a barn that qualified for it. So not a lot of people know about it. Anyway, side note. So
that's amazing.
And you're correct. The barn is full of my dad's crap. And I would love to turn it into a yoga studio, but that's pipeline down there. But anyway, so it's full of my dad's crap. And he says to me, it's going to need a new roof in the next couple of years. Okay. So we get a quote for this roof, $15,000. And I'm like, absolutely not. Am I spending $15,000 on a barn I don't use so that your crap doesn't get leaked on? Sorry, not happening.
Why is it so? Why?
It's like one of those slanty, like it's mostly roof down the one side. So it's.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But still, like that's flipping. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So 3 summers ago, I happened to walk around the backside of the barn, which I don't go back there very often. It's where we keep the lawnmower and I'm not in charge of outside stuff. So I don't go back there very often. I walked around the barn and a tree had fallen on the barn. And because all along I had joked, maybe a tree will just fall on the barn and I'll get a new roof from insurance and it'll all get taken care of. And so I walk around there. I'm like, whoa,
awesome. Big day today.
Yeah. So go through all the insurance process. Sure enough, they buy us a new roof for this barn. And my husband looks right at me and says, you always get what you want, don't you?
He should know that. He's been around long enough.
So now our barn has this beautiful new metal roof that matches our house. It's fabulous. So, but on the same vein, I also paid quite a bit to have the barn painted last 2 summers ago because it was way too much for me to do. And they roped it off for lead based paint and all these other things. But so all of that to say, I have paid quite a penny to maintain this barn that I literally don't go in, don't use, and just houses a bunch of random groundhogs and foxes and squirrels and probably mice. So.
Do you know what's funny? The opposite of home repair, I guess, but when my uncle died, I was going back and forth for like a year getting our family home cleaned out. And it's in the woods. Laura, you've been there. It is all trees. It's on a lake. And I kept saying, I bet you in one of these damn storms, like a tree's going to fall. And then I'm effed because I'm like 9 hours away. But the neighbor is family. So she was like watching it. I shit you not. I signed the papers on Friday. On Sunday, like selling the house. On Sunday, there was a horrible storm and a tree fell and hit the little little barn we have with all of our light. Well, it was empty at the time. So she sent me a picture and I was just like, praise, like homeownership, Jesus. Like it happened 2 days after I sold and it cracked the roof and like tipped it. So that's a positive thing that happened, that it actually didn't happen.
And that is exactly why your insurance has to be in place on the day you close on a house, because you just never know what's going to be. Well,
and like, I'm happy for the people that bought the house, but like, they've since listed the house and made like a ridiculous amount of money. And so the shady, like petty part of me is like, up yours, you had to replace that whole thing. Yeah. And insurance probably didn't cover it because they did a cash offer, like they probably didn't even have insurance on it yet.
Right. Because they're like, yeah, we'll do that on Monday.
Gotcha. Yeah, love it. That's what you get.
Well, we were talking a little bit. So with my house being so old, we were talking a little bit before we started recording. My house has a well and a septic, which is its own animal when it comes to things. I have been told that when my systems fail, I will have to plug into the town water, because I've lived here for so dang long. When I first moved out here, I was considered in the country, and now I'm considered in town. So I didn't even have, I had to like get like separate trash service. Like the town didn't even provide my trash service when I first moved here. So silliness, I know. But we were talking about wells and septics and plumbing. Like that's probably the hugest thing. So I will tell a funny story that we had a couple years ago, because you were asking me how often do I have to have it pumped out?
Yeah, because that's what you talk about as adults. Like, how often do you pump your septic tank?
I have never had to have mine pumped, and I've had it checked.
Which blows my mind. Where does it go?
I don't know if the tank's just huge enough. I'm really diligent about like my Ridex and, you know, making sure that.
Does that go in there and like literally like just decompose it? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you weren't doing that, you would have it full. There's no way.
I don't know the answer.
There's four of you in there. Like,
I don't know the answer.
Crazy.
But this particular time, we thought that the septic was backed up. We were having issues. And this was right after we put in our new bathroom. So, like, there's crap blowing back in my new bathtub. And like, oh.
So, like, literal crap, right?
Come to find out. So, we had a new puppy at the time. And what we would do if the puppy had an accident was that I would have the boys go get some toilet paper, and we'd pick up the accident, flush it down the toilet, and then we get paper towels and Clorox wipes and clean it up and throw the paper towels and the Clorox wipes in the trash. Bing, bang, boom. Taken care of.
Easy.
The boys somehow mistranslated this system. And so they were picking up the mess with the paper towels and stuffing it all down the toilet upstairs. So the poor upstairs plumbing is newer and wasn't able to handle the heft, we'll say, of the mess.
Yeah, and the paper towel and the dog. The
paper towels had gotten stuck and backed up. So we finally got that all kind of flowed through. But I'm just remembering, do you remember when you bought that toilet for your house in Muncie and it said it could flush a bucket of golf balls? And I thought, what a measurement.
Yes, I do, because I said, remember, like, did I send you a picture of it? Maybe so. Or you might have been at my house, because you
might have been there helping. Yeah.
I remember, even when I worked at Lowe's, like, who, like, the Americans will measure anything except for like using the metric system. A bucket
the size of three washing machines.
Right? Like, who does that? Who never tested the theory?
No, don't need to.
And plus, I had enough plumbing issues that I didn't need to be flushing golf balls down it.
Exactly. Well, and I think too, talking about septic systems, you really have to be careful of what kind of toilet paper you buy as well.
Oh, yeah. You have to do the one ply, don't you?
Well, we don't, but like Charmin is notorious for backing up septic systems. But that, you know, everybody thinks that's like, oh, that's a nice name brand, like toilet paper, but like it's hell on septic systems.
Which is crazy because we're connected, obviously, to the city. We live in a suburb, but we use Charmin. And like, well, we were having some weird plumbing shit.
Yeah. Or I know a lot of landlords have banned those like flushable wipes that people use.
Yeah. So when we started having problems with mine, I had a roommate at the time and she used those wipes. And I was like, I swear to Christ, like, if you've been flushing those, I'm going to murder you.
Yeah.
She wasn't, thank God.
Yeah.
And I still won't, I won't flush those.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, just have a little trash can. And
I think I have plumbing PTSD at this point, though, from like all of the plumbing issues that have occurred.
We're just going to walk in real slow, keep our head down. Because plumbing issues can get expensive. I mean,
damn, dude. Like, I mean, so my ex-husband's brother was a plumber, and I never realized how much money that dude saved me, mm-hmm. because we would call him and he'd be like, I'm on my way. He would just fix everything.
Case of beer and he's all set.
Like, yeah, that's exactly. Like, I would be like, he lived 40 minutes away. So I'd be like, all right, well, you come up from the weekend and fix this. Like, I'll buy you some beer and some food. And he's like, say no more. Like, I'm on my way.
Yeah, because we had one, speaking of, and this was our well, so where the water comes from. It was a couple Augusts ago. It was really, really dry. And apparently I learned more about this than I wanted to know. The water table got too low that our well pump could not
take from it.
Pump enough water. So, yeah, we had to have that, like, lowered. So they had to dig up the whole well. Like, it was, yeah, it was crazy.
We had to, in that first house, after I owned it a week, we had to dig up my entire backyard.
And remember, yours was like really quick after you bought it.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think it was, we were just talking about this the other day. I think it was like 12 days after I moved in, because we spent like a month painting. And so, and then insurance wouldn't do anything for it because they were like, well, you should have had that checked before you bought the house. I'm like, who gets their plumbing check? Like, I now know that Roto-Rooter and stuff will actually a lot of times come out and do a free check for you of your, but I didn't know that being, you know, 20 something years old.
Right. And that's, I think any advice I have for a homeowner, like, you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. If you are not a heating and cooling person and you are starting to have issues with your furnace, don't get up, you know, that is why professionals exist, because we can't all know everything about it. We can't all be my dad, who knows everything about everything and tries to fix everything himself. You know, I mean, even he was like, oh, I better call the water softener guy. Like, yes, you should. It's okay if you don't know about that stuff. So
we just have a rule in our house that if it's plumbing or electrical related, we will call a professional.
Yes.
So like,
that's just advice. Yeah.
It works. Derek is handy and he can do things. But like, for example, I want to replace all of the light fixtures because everything is those boob lights that exist.
Yes.
We're not going to play with that. I'm going to buy all the light fixtures and then hire somebody to come and put them on.
That's exactly right. And that, you know, and I think, because those are probably the two most expensive, you know, I'm also not going to mess with the furnace. Like,
no, we call the furnace people.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm not probably going to hire a painter unless I have a really good reason. So we, again, are weird.
I will paint.
We have, it's an entryway into our house, and the ceiling is like 16 feet on one side. It kind of angled down. And I didn't want to have to mess with finding a ladder tall enough to paint that. So I did pay to have that room painted, but I've also needed to paint my bedroom for, I don't know, how old's Milo? For 9 years, and I haven't done it yet. So
paint is like a hard one, though. Like, you know, bathrooms, they're not big. It doesn't take a long time to paint. I'll do it myself. But like, we have I don't know what you call that, like a landing going up our stairs, and it's super high. And even like our ladder with him, he could probably do it with a roller, but it would be so hard to not like get paint on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So like painting a flooring is another one that, no, I will. You have your dad. I don't have that. So like, I'm waiting.
I don't want dad crouching down on the floor.
Well, that's true.
We had hardwood floors installed, and I called a prepare. Now my dad sat there and supervised. Don't get me wrong. He's still involved. But yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, certain things.
Yeah. You don't DIY or you don't, you know, like my first house, my house was built in the 60s. So I had like those green countertops.
Yeah.
But because my plumbing went to shit, like right when I got there. And then, do you remember my driveway collapsing because of the city?
Yes.
When my dog, who's now passed, was sick, I had to drive 45 minutes to Parker City. And then when I got back with her, the driveway collapsed. Whole different thing. But see, plumbing, anything with pipes and stuff, just,
yeah.
But I think that, where was I even going with that? Oh, with the plumbing stuff. It's like, you bring somebody in, you do it, that's fine. But like for something like the counters, which was what I was talking about, I could paint it. I glazed them myself. I made them look granite. Could I install a countertop? No, I've been walking past the one in our bathroom trying to figure out like how the hell you redo the countertop. Like, I don't know how to do that. I need a professional.
That's what I get with stuff too. It's like, I get paralyzed by indecision. That's what's happened with my bedroom, because our bedroom used to be the living room of the house. So again, it's ginormous. It's got some weird light fixtures on the wall, not the ceiling.
I forgot about those.
It's got an exterior door. Again, weird, I know. But I can't decide like what, and I also love the carpet in there. It's navy blue.
It's like thick.
30 years old, not a track mark on it. I mean, it's great carpet, so I don't necessarily want to go to the expense of pulling that up. But what, you know, do I paint? Do I wallpaper? Do I, you know, so I just live with the, you know, the marks on the ceiling from our remodel. So that's what we did.
I feel like with that carpet, if you wanted to keep that, you definitely should just like wallpaper a wall.
I've thought about that. Just doing like just one behind our bed and then just paint.
And you have the lights on there, right? Like behind your bed. So you could
also paint and want to replace, but yeah.
Yeah, but if you had the wallpaper and then those lights over, it would be amazing.
I know.
I'm doing the same thing. We've been here, so we're going on 3 years. And like, so when we moved in, our kitchen was red and our dining room was red. And I think because I've talked about serial killers so long, I just went straight to murder every time I thought of those two like rooms. So we painted it. But then in our bedroom, I wanted to paint. There's one wall that is blue. And in our bathroom, there's one wall that's blue. And I hate it, but I can't figure out what do I do? And does it affect like my bedding color? And does it affect my dress? Like indecision.
I get it. It's
great. But again, paint is like the only thing I'll do. Like everything else.
I'm going to hire somebody generally to.
But I feel like they some of them take advantage. Like, why does it cost $14,000 to do plumbing stuff? You know what I mean? Like, and they all seem to be able to finance you. I understand what you do is a great service, but like, it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And home insurance never covers any of that. Like, why? What is the point of that besides like storms? Because it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. I mean, unless you literally have like a pipe explode in your house, it's probably not going to cover a lot of stuff.
I had back in that first house again, my basement would flood and it was coming in my windows and there was like all these issues. And so I went to my insurance and was just like, I mean, isn't this what insurance is for? Silly 25-year-old me. No.
Yeah.
Insurance didn't do crap.
Yeah. And then you also have to weigh like, okay, yes, I, you know, file this through insurance. Okay. Even if they pay for it, you've got a deductible to pay. So depending on, you know, how you have that set up, it could be up to $5,000. So most of the time, and then most likely they're going to raise your insurance rate if you have a claim. And so it's like, you know, you have to weigh, do I just pay this out of pocket and move on with life? Or do I mess with insurance? Now, the $14,000 roof, that was worth it. And the residual of that, we were advised not to change insurance companies because all the other insurance companies we got quoted were like, yeah, no, you had a claim. We don't want you for 3 years. So we had to kind of cool our heels there. But, you know, it was just fascinating to kind of learn how that whole thing goes.
I actually, now that I think about it, so I don't know, this might be morbid, I don't know, but we had a family member that passed away in a home, and that is the only time besides the roof that I've been able to use insurance, because I only knew this from teaching, like the field I teach in criminal justice, but you know, somebody passed away in a home, you need to have somebody come in and clean that up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, that is $18,000. And insurance covered it.
Yeah.
And then I canceled his insurance. Oops. Because I sold the house. But I mean, that was the first time I've ever used insurance that besides that one time. Like, because they have all these clauses, right? Like, I remember with our plumbing, it was like, well, you haven't been with us that long. You've only been in the home for like a month. And I'm like, well, right. No shit.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, does anybody want, yes, we all want to get it paid for, but like, do we really want to mess with the process of insurance? I don't think anybody would choose that.
Insurance, no. We could do a whole podcast on insurance and stuff. But it did tie very nicely into this because.
Well, I will talk about our big grand hoobah home repair. So I think I've talked a little bit about this before, but we found out we were having Milo. So previously, and we'd been wanting to build onto our house anyway, knowing that we were going to have kids. We had some weird roof lines that needed fixed. We had some leaks. We had just several things going on. So we weren't exactly also sure, because if you don't know this about building out is sometimes a lot more expensive than building up, because you have to lay a foundation. You have to figure out where all of the septic tanks are, all those kinds of things. So we decided, and our house has a pretty big, you know, footprint. So we decided to build up on our house. And so that was a really like an 8-month process. So Milo was born in the middle of it. And honestly, could not have asked for a smoother process. I mean, Kristen, you remember at the time, like, I don't feel like I bitched about we had a great contractor.
Everything. It all went so much better than I think you ever imagined it was going to go, building onto an old house.
Yeah, I was going to say the only funny thing we had happen, which we joke about now, I think Alex talked about it on one of the podcasts he was, but they ripped the roof off of our house, literally. Our house just looked like a little box without a roof, and left for the weekend, and it rained that night. So literally every light fixture in our downstairs.
The water, didn't it? Yeah.
Water. So we had buckets, we had everything. So, I mean, it was even coming, and then it started dripping. We don't have any light fixtures on our bedroom ceiling, but it was like collecting and coming through the drywall. So the contractor fixed everything, but Alex had rigged up this elaborate, like, his dad worked for Pepsi, and so he had this old R2-D2 cooler. R2-D2 sat on our bed with an old piece of guttering running out the window to try to, you know, get the water outside. Craziest night of my life.
What a nightmare.
And then we were trying to save our mattress because it got a little bit wet. And so Rowan was like 3 at the time. So he thought it was the most fun ever. We put it on the living room floor and I got my blow dryer out and he would jump on the bed and it would like bring the wetness up and I'd blow dry it out. And so we did that for hours. Like, he would just jump on the bed and
that
trashy in hindsight, but hey, times were tough. So that's what we did.
I remember thinking, like, why would you just leave it? Like, I can't believe that Hunter, but the fact that he fixed it all.
Yeah.
Still a little touch and go there briefly.
And he was so funny. He was like, we thought about you all weekend. I was like, you should have come back and fixed it over the weekend. But it was neither here nor there. But yeah. So, I mean, we ended up, you know, with exactly what we wanted for our house. So, of course, again, I know I talk about him all the time, but my dad is an amazing, like, drafter, architect kind of guy. So he did all of our blueprints, all of our plans. So we were very blessed in that aspect that we had a lot of those kinds of things already done. And again, with him being the institutional memory of the house, he knew, oh, we have to do this, or, you know, and it was just the little things that popped up, I think, were the most annoying. Like, oh, we have to have this tree cut back because now it's going to be in the middle of the roof if we don't. Or, you know, I had like, I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000 in dumpsters by the end of it, because taking the top off of a house is a lot of trash. I don't know if you realize how much it is, but yeah. So that was kind of our adventure with that, but it was great. It was great. And then we ended up exactly how we wanted. And yeah.
I haven't, you know, built onto an 1800s house. I haven't done anything cool like that in my home repairs. I think all of my stuff has just been like little things. We put in a fence 2 years ago, and that was like a huge thing. Yeah. I didn't realize like how much work goes into just getting a dang fence.
I was literally talking about that last week with somebody, that I feel like fences are a very specialized construction area. Like, not,
and they're expensive too. Shocker.
I mean, you think about it, you have to locate the utilities. You have to make sure that you're on the right property lines, that you're not, you know, if you're not, like, we could do run around the back of our house and that's no big deal because we know the whole thing's our property. But like, if I'm going over to my neighbor, like, I probably need to figure that out. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Our backyard butts up to like 6 people. because mm-hmm. it's the back of a cul-de-sac. So it's all yeah. these like areas meeting. And we pulled it in from our property line so that we had room to like mow
yeah.
between, because some people have fences, some people don't. It's a real hodgepodge of fences behind us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to do that. And then they also have to make sure, right, that they get them in the ground. And Michigan is very rocky and clayish. Yeah. So it took them a lot of work. And we have so many rocks, dude. Like, I cannot even explain. We have, again, a huge trash can.
Yeah.
Because we can't throw rocks in the trash. So what right. do you do with them?
Right.
I'm going to landscape with them, I guess, because that's what you do.
I live on the river. So we have flagstones coming out of our wazoo that will just unearth themselves. And so we've got a couple in the front yard right now that we have to dig up. So again, those little home repair things that you don't think about, it's like, oh, they just built a sidewalk. Why didn't they get these? There they are. So yeah.
We have another thing that we have been noticing is it's not as much about, so our home was built in 2016. So it's not like a ton of maintenance yet, right? Like it's like little stuff. But one thing we've noticed is it's a lot of learning how to like know what we're dealing with. So like with the plumbing, you know, it's like what line is there that we get to where we have to call somebody?
Right.
You know, we pay somebody to turn our sprinkler thing on every year. Can we turn the thing ourselves? Yes. But this year when he turned it on, it, because our city had messed with the pressure, it started dripping.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, well, if we did this ourselves, we wouldn't know what the hell to do. So like, thank God that we had a professional come out.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of our stuff, me now that I've got through all of the plumbing issues of every single home I've ever lived in, besides this one, not one would. I think a lot of mine is just like trying to understand, what am I going to have to repair?
Yeah. And I think that's true. Cause like, even with our house, my dad gives me a hard time all the time. Cause he's like, you know, I got really good at figuring out how to flip a trip breaker, because that happens a lot at our house. Cause my dad will say, this was rewired in 1990. There wasn't a lot of internet then, you know, so it wasn't used to having 16 devices plugged in. And, you know, and like you said, not only when to repair stuff, but when to upgrade stuff. How do you know, you know, to me, if your wires are all frayed, and yeah, like that's a safety fire issue big time.
Right. Like I think he thinks I border on like being kind of psychotic with my organization, but I have like a home binder I've made us.
Yeah.
And when we moved in, I was like, things, for example, we have a septic or a sump pump.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sump pump in my house that flooded all the time. And so I'm like, all right, Derek, well, like you need to learn how this works. Like what happens if we lose power? Like, do you know how the battery works? And he's just looking at me and I'm like, life experience, man. Like I've lived through this. And I know that if shit hit the fan, you need to know where the emergency shutoff is. Right. And you need to know. So yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, even the, like your appliances, you know, like we were cleaning out our deep freeze a couple weeks ago.
Tell them what you found in that deep freeze.
I mean, the oldest thing was 2006. So my sister lived here.
Were born.
Yeah. My sister lived here in 2006. I'm pretty sure I threw away some of her food, but it's okay. It was frozen. My husband was funny though. He's like, there's a trash can full of rotting meat that has to go out to the end of the road.
What?
It was fine. It wasn't a particularly hot week either. So it all worked out. But that deep freeze is older than I am.
Is it still going?
Well, yeah. And I'm like, of course it's going to outlive us all, because that's how appliances were made then. And now they're not. So, I mean, you remember when we were in college, there was a massive ice storm and people were out of electricity for like, some were 2 weeks. It was crazy.
We didn't have electricity for like 6 days.
Yeah. Mine got turned on within 24 hours. I don't know why. But like,
were you at that house when that happened? No.
All my friends were coming out here to take showers and all, you know, just because it was crazy.
Oh, I did take the Mickler out. Well, I guess it was Jersey though. I took a shower there. I do remember that.
And it was nuts, but people lost like crazy amounts of food, and you know, you just have to know. I mean, because you think about it, especially with food prices, like you go to the grocery. I mean, I've probably got $1,500 worth of meat in my deep freeze. So
my fridge went out.
I use it.
my fridge went out twice in my last rental, and my landlord was just like, we'll just put your stuff in coolers. I'm like, for days? Like, that's not, like, that's for a party. That's for a picnic. That's not for, like, survival.
Yeah. And I was like, during that ice storm, everybody was putting their stuff outside in the snow.
Because we use our patio.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can't do that in the middle of June. You know what I mean? It just doesn't.
Yeah. Which also makes me feel like adulthood has been different, right? Because now I'm like, oh, I probably need a generator. Do you guys have a generator?
We don't have a generator, but I've thought about it.
Yeah, see, like, that's where your mind goes when you're older. Like, do we need a generator? But then I think about that ice storm is probably the one time in my life that I've really needed one. Because otherwise, the power's been out, like, a little bit, come back.
4 hours, yeah.
So that one, I mean, we still had to go. We were on the end of Christmas break when that happened.
Yes.
And JOGO wouldn't give us any time extended.
I remember because everybody.
We had to go to school anyways.
Yeah. And they were like, yeah, I've been driving from Indy to Ball State because I don't have any power at my house on campus. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, because campus, of course, got restored pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts. But yeah, you're right. Like, you start thinking about all that stuff as a homeowner and, you know.
I feel like my brain always just goes to, like, what do we need to do to make sure nothing bad happens? Because that's just where I've been. Or like the house that my family left me in Wisconsin is similar to yours, not as old, but nobody had ever lived in our house but my family.
Yeah.
So without my uncle and my grandpa, I was like, I don't know shit about this house. Like, my cousins asked me questions like, do you know where the breaker is? Or do you know where? And I'm like, no, I know where nothing is because I grew up in that house, but like we had menfolk that took care of
it. When you're a kid, like, you don't. Yeah. You know, and I'll be honest, like, this house took me probably 10 years to learn all of that stuff. And part of it's because my dad made me. But otherwise, like, I, you know, whatever. It's like I flip the light switch, the lights come on. That's all I need to know. Now, when I started flipping breakers with my hair dryer, yes, I figured out I can't run the oven, my blow dryer and the dryer at the same time, like, you know, or my dad rerouted that dryer so that it's on its own circuit. Just those little things that, you know, can make your life easier or harder. You learn pretty quick.
Yeah. And if you don't fix it then, and you don't have a dad, then you have to hire somebody to come take care of it. Like, it's electric. We had a breaker situation in this house where, like, if we had our, I think it was if we had our little fireplace heater running, it would like flip this breaker. And so he had to learn really quick what each of them meant, but some jackass labeled them wrong. So he would like click one and be like, well, this says microwave. Did the microwave go off? And I'm like, nope, it's still on. So that's another fun part is that you have to learn how all those little things work like you did so that you prevent bigger issues.
I mean, you know, my house has probably 5 light switches that go nowhere. They have no purpose. We don't know what they do.
What do they do?
Yeah. I'm guessing it's just a capped off wire in the wall, but I don't know that for sure.
That would be my guess. I had some of those in my Muncie house that like just didn't do anything. I had one in the basement that was 2 next to each other and like one did something and one didn't. I was like, why?
Garages, yeah.
Yeah, you do have that in your garage, don't you? Don't you have like a bunch that are like right?
Yeah, I've got 2. One of them turns on the lights in the garage inside. One of them, I don't know.
Is there outside lights?
There are outside lights. That's what my dad thinks. It's like the motion sensor. But then again, you get to play the, is the bulb burned out or is the light switch not working? You know, especially like that one is 25 feet in the air. So I'm not getting up there very easily.
That was a pain.
Mm-hmm. So. See all of these things. And I want to preface this too, as we're talking about all of this and as we wrap up here. So, you know, my thoughts on the BS where the quote unquote world tells you, oh, well, you're just a piece of crap if you don't have 3 months worth of repairs in your savings account. So, I'm going to say it this way. Yes, I believe you should. I mean, you're going to have to plan for some things as a homeowner. Kristen and I are living proof of these kinds of things. But you have to be realistic about it. So if I had a tree fall on the barn and I had to pay $14,000, I'm sorry, nobody's coming at me because I don't have $14,000 sitting in my savings account ready for that situation. So all that to say, like, don't feel bad you know, do what you can do, save what you can save. My God, there's 18,000 ways to pay for things nowadays. Like you said, everyone offers financing. So just know, these things are going to pop up. And yes, it is a lot easier when you can just write a check for things. But if not, like, it's not the end of the world. So did I say that? Did that make sense when I say
that? No, that makes perfect sense. Because it was easier for our parents and our grandparents to have all this money set aside in case there was an issue. Because one, the shit that went wrong was cheaper to fix. And two, they were having like $200 mortgages. You know, we don't live in a world like that. So I think it's not even realistic. But with that being said, you know, be responsible about it.
Right. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Banks are failing. So they don't even have reserve funds that you are quote unquote supposed to have.
So I always used my family in those situations. Like when my plumbing went, because I was losing my shit. And it's just like, well, I'll loan you the money and you can pay me back. And I'm like, hell yes.
Right.
And I put in as much money as I could and then did that system forever. So find your options, because if it's something like plumbing or electrical, you have to have it fixed.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, like, you can't live in your house without plumbing. We've had a couple of instances. I joke with, I'm good friends with my plumber, and I joke with her and her husband that, you know, I'll call you guys for our annual Christmas water outage, because something weird happened every Christmas. And one year I had a baby and we walked in, my dad's like, it smells like milk in here. Well, I can't wash the effing dishes, Dad, and no one can take a shower. So yes, it smells like milk in here. So, you know, drives me crazy. So awesome. Well,
we'll have to do like a whole episode on like home, like fixing things up, not mishaps. Because I think we really thought we'd tell you about things that we fixed, but I think we just told you about things.
Just wrong. Like, here's what went wrong. Here's how I had to call somebody.
But yeah, and then we called someone.
Yes, we've had several instances. I'll tell the story of my son shooting an airplane through the drywall, and I fixed that all by myself. So, you know.
Badass.
Yeah, I know. It's fine.
Just be prepared for a lot of home episodes, because I feel like we always end up talking about our houses.
I know. Well, let's go back. Let's pick up a couple nuggets for our sauce that we made. So do you have one handy?
What were we talking about? Sauces. For me, I think the biggest one is don't feel like you have to fix everything on your own.
Yes. Hire a professional. We had that tip on our life hack.
Yeah, I think we did.
If it makes your life easier, hire it done.
Already repeating myself, like, should fire your producer at this point.
Oh my gosh. No, as we say here, I told Kristen, I have several greeting cards here that I want to send you, but I'm just going to read you this one because you'll love it. It says, she believed she could, so she did hire someone to do it for her. So I've got that right here.
I'm going to frame that shit. That's so weird.
So, I'm spoiling the surprise of the greeting card I'm going to send to you, but I think, you know, again, that's, and it is, I will 100% own, like, it's a privileged place to be able to hire things done. And we had a babysitter once and their well pump went out and they were literally using a garden hose to fill their washing machine. Like, I understand that sometimes those things happen at the worst, and they will happen at the worst possible time. When you're flush with cash, these things will not happen.
No.
So just know.
There will be either a lack of funds or there will be some inopportune moment that it will hit.
Or somebody's having surgery all the things happen.
What's your nugget?
Yeah. My nugget, I think, is knowing yourself and knowing the difference between a needed repair, like you're talking about, and something that you know, my hole in the wall that I was talking about. We lived with that for 3 years. That was silly. It took me 10 minutes to fix it. However, it was no big deal for 3 years. You know what I mean? So
can I tell you that?
Yeah.
I agree with that. We have a porch we want to replace. Our one we have now is usable. So should we do it? No. Exactly. We're going to wait and save up the money and do it later.
Exactly. We have a patio that I want to refurbish. I want to put all new windows in. I'm not spending the $6,000 that I was quoted to do that right now. So it's fine as it is. You're exactly right. I think that's what you have to weigh with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then last nugget, don't let anybody, you know, save up what you can, but don't let anybody feel bad about you because you can't, you know, turn around and replace your whole mortgage in cash tomorrow kind of a thing. So
before we go, what is your favorite product of the week? Tell them about your new hobby.
So Kristen invited me to join Temu, and I know I've seen several things about how other countries are stealing my information. I got nothing to hide, so whatever.
What are you going to do with it?
Literally everything on that website. So I will tell you what I bought. And again, it's right here on my desk. And I know you all are on the podcast and not on Zoom. But I bought these little, I don't know if you can see them, they're kind of button pin things. And they hold, I have them on, I bought two sets of them. But they hold your duvet cover on your duvet so that it doesn't like fall down into the duvet cover.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
And you probably spent, what, 80 cents?
I think they were $1.25.
Well, and a lot of the stuff that's on Temu is stuff that people buy to sell on Amazon. So, like, I've been finding things now where it's, like, it's $3 on there, and I go to Amazon, and it's, like, $15. I'm like, haha.
Yeah.
Well, mine comes from there, too. Maybe we just need to turn this into, what did you buy on Temu recently?
What did you buy? It's so good. I mean, I literally placed an order, like, 3 days ago, and I had 14 things in my order, and it was $12.
It's, okay, so the other day he comes into my office and I have this, you can't see it, they can't see it, but it's fine. It's called a monitor memo board. And it like affixes to the side of my monitor. And like, I think I sent you a picture of it. I can clip stuff in it. I can write on it as a whiteboard. And right now it's full of post-its and it'll hold my phone. $3.
Beautiful. I know all that stuff. So yeah, let us know if you like this segment for sure. Cause we like sharing a little bit about our favorite products. And so
we send each other links all the time. We'd be happy to link you to some.
Exactly. Well, maybe we get an affiliate marketing program going or something. I don't know, but.
Well, maybe we'll actually get something sent to us in the games because you always have to invite people to win anything. Jerks.
Yeah, Kristen sent me the thing and it was like, and wait, there's more. Here's another coupon. It was craziness. So I enjoy it very much. It's one of our, we talked about doing a podcast on pastimes that kill time, but that brings joy, and that scrolling through that app is one of them. So
if you can scroll through that app and be in a bath, it's heaven.
Oh my gosh. I know what I'm doing this evening. And my love, thank you for joining us. And I'm so excited to have you as a full-time fixture in the purple chair. And I know everybody else is loving that as well. So have a good day, everybody. We will talk at you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends with me, your host, Laura Mickler. D3 is produced by Kristen Pickett and recorded and edited at Winter Freeds Records by Aaron Winter. See you next week from my purple chair.